Hello and welcome home. You're listening to the Tribe Abuja podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through his son, Jesus. Let's listen to the message.
All right. Okay. Can we open to Hebrews 1? Hebrews 1. We'll read 1-3. What version is this? KJV? KJV? Okay, can we all just read it together? God having of all time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets by diverse portions and diverse manners, amen, has at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purifications of sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay, that's fine. Oh, sorry. KJV, let me read the one where I sabi. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the power, mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. So we started this series last week where we are trying to navigate and understand something theologians call the threefold office. And I explained to you that God in the old times, under the old covenant, would mediate with his people through three offices: the office of the king, the office of the prophet, and the office of the priest. And only one man could occupy an office at the same time. Do you understand? So only one man was anointed for a particular office. David was anointed as king, even though we know he had some prophetic gifts and at a point touched a bit of the priestly duties, but it doesn't mean he was anointed for that. It only, I believe that showed that it was possible. You know, I talked about types and shadows. It just pointed us to the fact that it was probably coming, or it could happen, right? We see God anoint certain men as prophets. Moses, Nathan, who was the prophet during David's time. We see Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all these guys, the people we call major and minor prophets. Then we see the priests who were instituted by God, the office of the priest instituted by God, and God separated the tribe of Levi, right, and said they will serve me, that they were not going to do any other thing but serve me, and that the descendants of Aaron will be the priests. So in the temple, only the Levites could serve in the temple. They were the worship team, they were the ushering team, they were everything. They were the ones serving in the temple, if you were from the tribe of Levi. Are you with me? So only certain men could serve, anointed and appointed by God, could serve in particular capacity, in a particular office. So I made the argument last week that only Jesus Christ, it's in Jesus Christ that we see the fulfillment of these three offices: the office of the priest, the office of the prophet, and the office of the king. So we just read Hebrews 1:1-3, and we see those three offices there. Can we just open it again? So he says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. What office is that? Prophet, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Just look at this sentence. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. A priest who was also a king. Right? Because it's priests that could carry out the duty of purification of sins. Right? And I said, Jesus last week, we made this argument from Hebrews as well, that Jesus was not just any type of priest. He is our great high priest, and he's priestly office, it's not like that of the Levites. His priestly office, we are told, the author of Hebrews makes this argument from Psalm 110, talking about how the Messiah that was to come, his office was as a priest was in the order of Melchizedek. Amen. So I also told us that we are also priest, and I quoted from 1 Peter 2:9 and Revelation 5. Hallelujah. Because Peter tells us that we are a chosen nation, we're a chosen race, we're a holy nation, that we are royal priesthood, right? Then John tells us in the book of Revelations that he sees this great gathering and they are worshiping God. And one of the things they were saying, as they were blessing God, he was saying, blessed be to God who has made his people what? A kingdom of priests. Amen. So last week we learned that Jesus is our great high priest, but we too are priests in the order of Christ. Glory to God. And the reason I want us to learn this is because I want us to know who Jesus truly is. So 2 years ago we did a series on Jesus, knowing his character as he introduced himself in the book of John, and this season we are learning about Jesus and his offices, which is the threefold office of the priest, prophet, and king. And today we are going to be talking about the office of the prophet. Amen, amen, amen. One of the things that I've encountered, pardon me. One of the questions I get asked a lot by Christians or even people in our communities, how do I hear the voice of God? Or how do I know God is speaking to me? Right? Oftentimes, there is this dramatization of how we want to hear God's voice. We want to hear him in the thunder and lightning. We want to hear him in the earthquakes. We want, like, thus says the Lord. It's not often so. Do you understand? We are told by the author of Hebrews that in the last days, God used to speak to his people through who? The prophets. But now he's speaking to us through the Son. But here's the thing as well. So if you are here and you want to know God, if you want to hear the voice of God concerning an issue, if you want to know how God is speaking, look to Jesus. Amen. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. The author of Hebrews later tells us that, no, and Paul tells us in Timothy that there's only one mediator between God and men now. And that language of mediator is, like I said, it's what God uses people, middlemen, so to speak, to interact, right? But this time around, he took away people that were abusing that privilege. Do you understand? He took away the people that were abusing that privilege. He set up kings, anointed them, they abused the privilege. He set up priests, anointed them for the work, they abused that privilege. He set up prophets, they abused the privilege. So God now anointed his own son. And I told you, Jesus was anointed when he came up out of the River Jordan after being baptized by his son. We are told that the Spirit of God came in the form of a dove and announced the ministry of Jesus. Glory to God. And it was after that that Jesus went and was doing what God had called him to do. So now, if you are here and you want to know God, if you want to know what God is doing, know Jesus. It sounds as simple. It sounds so simple. But honestly, that's it. The gospel is simple. No Telemundo or K-drama to it. Or those awkward court scenes and those long pauses that shouldn't be happening. It's simple. You want to know God? I don't watch any of those things, in case you're judging me. I just know it. If you want to know God, know Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want to know God, know Jesus. Now, Jesus tells us that all scripture points to him. All scripture points to him. He was telling the Pharisees that you search the scriptures for eternal life, but can't you see that the scriptures point to me? So everything, the word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament point to the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So how is God speaking in these present days, in these last days? How is God speaking? Through his son. Amen. And now we're going to see how God is not just speaking through Jesus, but he's speaking, God is not just speaking through Jesus, but Jesus is a prophet, but not just a prophet, he is the prophet. Amen. So the prophet that Israel, the nation of Israel, reveres the most is who? Moses, right? Moses was anointed by God, appointed by him to go into Egypt and to set the people of Israel free so that they could go and worship God. And they honor him as, you know, one of their greatest prophets, not just because he led them out of captivity, but he literally revealed the law of the Lord towards them, for them. So that's another thing. The office of the prophet is about revealing God. Are you with me? The office of the prophet is about revealing God. So God uses people who he appoints and anoints as prophets to reveal him, to reveal his nature, to reveal his word. So that's what Moses did. Moses went and spent time with God on Mount Sinai, came down with laws and told them this is what the Lord is commanding. And he revealed the will of God, basically. Like I've said several times here, the prophetic prophecy is not about knowing what your PIN number is. It's not about knowing, have you seen me before? Have you seen me before? You know those dramas? That's not... Can it be? Yes. But that's not the essence of it. The other day I saw someone because he had guessed someone's nickname. You understand? And it was like, they call you baby. He said, yes, baby. And he dropped the mic and I was like, wow, is this what it has been reduced to? No, that's not what the office of the prophet is for. The office of the prophet is about revealing God, not your nickname. Baby is a very common nickname. Do you understand? If you were to go into an Abuja restaurant and shout baby now, you'll be putting yourself in trouble. Here's the thing. So primarily, the office of the prophet is about revealing God. Amen? So I told you last week, the priest stands on behalf of the people facing God. They are representatives of the people. They come before God and they make requests. The prophet stands on behalf of God, facing the people, revealing God, revealing his will, revealing his word. Do you understand? We see that in Moses and every other prophet that came after him. So something interesting happens. We are told that the Spirit of God had come upon some elders in the Old Covenant, and somebody ran from the camp. Two of the elders who were not present with Moses ran to Moses, who were in the camp, but someone from the camp came and ran to Moses and said, Moses, somebody is prophesying. Two people are prophesying. And Joshua, you know, Joshua is Moses' right-hand man. He's that guy that's like, he's Moses' guy. He says, stop them. And Moses was like, what? No. And let's read. It's from Numbers 11:29. He says, but Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Will that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them? Moses is saying, I wish that all of you prophesied. I wish that all of you were prophets, so that this burden of revealing God will not rest on one man, but this burden, this privilege of knowing God and revealing to the world should be on all of us. He said, I wish that all of you will have the Spirit of God so that you will be able to reveal God. And here's the beautiful thing. What Moses was wishing for in the book of Numbers, Joel saw this in Joel 2. He says, and it shall come to pass afterward, and I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall what? They shall what? Prophesy. Your old shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit. So Moses wished that the nation of Israel will what? Will experience God, and that the whole nation of Israel will prophesy, and that they will reveal God. Then Joel sees this, and God reveals to Joel, and Joel is seeing that God, at the time is coming that God will pour out his Spirit, not just on the nation of Israel, but on all peoples, and that every one of them, young, old, male, female, they will prophesy. So the office of the prophet is not age specific. It is not gender specific. Amen. If you have the Spirit of God, we are told you can prophesy. And I know some of you are still struggling with it. It's because of what you know as prophecy. It's because of what you think prophecy is. I've told you, primarily, prophecy is about revealing God's heart. It's about revealing God. So your struggle right now is because of how you've seen the office of the prophet being abused, where it's only just to manipulate people, to get things for them. Do you understand? So I want us to break from that. And this is not my teaching. It is God. He's saying that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Then here's the beautiful thing. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the Spirit of God pours out on about 150 disciples of Christ, and they start speaking in other tongues, and they are declaring the word of God. They are declaring the praises of God. They are worshiping God. They are magnifying him. And this is 9 a.m. in the morning, and people look and they are like, these people are drunk. Then Peter stands and preaches the first sermon in the church and the best sermon in the church. And he explains to them, so no. This is what was promised. Amen. This is what was promised by Joel, that His Spirit will be poured out, and men and women will what? Prophesy. They will what? Reveal God. Amen. So every child of God has access to reveal God. If we start really defining things, if we start seeing things as God has laid it out in the Scripture, I believe we'll start walking in certain graces, walking in certain gifts that may have been hindered because of your miseducation. My prayer and desire is that the tribe Abuja will be a prophetic church, a church that reveals God, reveals his character, reveals his will, reveals his heart. Amen. Amen. The other day, we did a test when we were doing stretch. And I just thought how to prophesy. And I called Jemima and I called Michael. And I said, just pray. And for the people in the room and the people online, just pray and trust that you're going to be a conduit, right? And just pray over them. And for those of you that were in that prayer session, you can tell about how God moved in that room. Am I right? We often hinder the move of God because of our miseducation or because of ignorance. And I really want that the tribe will be a prophetic house. That is my desire. That is my dream. That is my wish. And I know that's going to happen. But it is going to happen collectively. Amen. It is. I believe it is something that can be pursued. And I believe it's something that we can all have access to. Now, I know people brand themselves as prophets. It's even, you know, a title, and platforms are built around that. Now, please don't get me wrong. I know there are genuine people that God has sent, and they are doing the will of God. They are working in their ministry and office as a prophet. I'm not putting that down. I'm just talking about how often brands have, the gift has been abused, and people just build platforms and brands out of it. But God forbid, that's not what we'll be doing. Amen. Amen. I need back and forth. This hammer turn, I need your response to help me. Now, so that's the prophetic, right? But also, Moses, before he left, he said, God is going to send another prophet like me. So I told us last week that for all the offices, the nation of Israel, they were looking to the Messiah, knowing that the Messiah was going to fulfill these three offices. So they knew that even though they had David and Solomon and all these other, they had some good kings and all these other kings. They knew there was the king who was going to come, right? The anointed one. They knew that there was the priest who was going to come. They knew that all these were types and shadows pointing to the Messiah, pointing to the anointed one. So Moses said that another is coming like me. But do you know, I don't know if you've ever interacted with a Muslim and they've used this argument, that particular line, and saying that what Moses or who Moses was referring to was actually Prophet Muhammad. Have you heard that before? And we know, we don't believe that. Now, in Islam, Islam recognizes five great prophets, according to them. There is Prophet Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, then Muhammad. According to them, like, these are the five greatest prophets in Islam, right? They recognize, and the beautiful thing is, in Islam, they recognize the virgin birth of Christ. Did you know that? They recognize the virgin birth of Christ. They recognize that Mary was a virgin. Where the thing starts to deviate was they don't recognize his deity. They don't recognize his sonship. And they don't recognize that he was crucified. But here's the thing. In Islam, if Jesus is just a prophet, it's not enough. So certain people in the Old Testament as well saw Jesus as a prophet. The woman at the well said, I perceive that you are a prophet. Jesus asking his disciples, he says, what do people say about me? He says, some say you are this, some say you are that, right? People saw him and they thought he was Ezekiel that had returned. Pardon me. Elijah that had returned, right? They thought he was just a prophet. But he wasn't just a prophet. He was the prophet. I have said that the prophet reveals God. Why is Jesus not just a prophet? Jesus is not just a prophet because that reveals God. He is a prophet that is God. He's not just a prophet that reveals the word of God. He is the word of God. Amen. He's the word incarnate. Glory to God. So Jesus is not just like any other prophet who just comes and pronounces the word of God. In the Old Testament, you hear a prophet say, "Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord." But do you know, Jesus came and changed it. He said, "You have heard it said before." He says, "But I say to you." So the prophets in the Old Covenant, their authority was on who sent them. Do you understand? But in the New Covenant, Jesus saying Jesus was basically equating himself with God, not saying "Thus says the Lord." He was saying, "But I say to you." Amen. Amen. So Jesus is not just a prophet. We cannot just reduce him to just being a prophet. He is the prophet. He's the one that the world has been looking forward to. He's the one that is revealing God, not just because he's revealing God, but he is God himself. He's not just revealing the word of God. He is the word of God. Amen, tribe. Like I've said several times, the greatest prophet in your life is Jesus Christ. If we start to understand some of these things, we'll stop running from prayer house to prayer house. If we stay in the word of God, and because your different troubles, and you go into different ministries and they manipulate you. Some of us, they are manipulating our parents, manipulating our relatives, collecting resources from them. Some people have spent life savings on these charlatans. But if we stay in the word, Hebrews 1 tells us, long ago he spoke to us through his prophets. But in these days, in these final days, he's speaking to us through his son. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you want to know the will of God, you go to who? You go to Jesus, because Jesus is our prophet. He's our prophet. He is not just revealing the word of God. He is the word of God. So I want to encourage you, like we did in the month of August. I want you to spend time in the word of God. Eat this book. Hallelujah. Eat this book. Spend time in the word. What are you saying in this season, God? Go to the word. When I was moving into Abuja, I was so comfortable around, I'd built a relationship with, you know, like some Christian brothers, and I was really afraid that if I just enter Abuja, like, you know, they say this is the land of sin. I was just really, really afraid. I'm joking. Well, I was just really afraid, and I was just asking God. I needed a community. I needed people. And one of the promises that God gave me was, "Lo and behold, I will be with you till the end of age." Honestly, this is 8 years later, and I've seen that word come to pass. I've never lacked. I've had people around me. I've literally seen Jesus in my life. Now, please don't get me wrong. There are certain times that situations in our lives, pain, depression, illnesses, some things may blur our vision. So we may have brothers and sisters around us, right, that may be able to see into our situation. So Paul was telling the Corinthian church, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Listen, speaking in tongues edifies you only. I wish that you will pursue the gift of prophecy. He says, why? Because prophecy builds the church. So prophecy builds you and I. If I'm able to just sense that, brother, I think the Lord wants you to build a prayer altar. I'm not guessing. I'm saying it. That the Lord wants you to build a prayer altar right now, right? It could be because of something that is coming. Just like, I'm teaching, but I'm speaking to you. Do you understand? It's building him. Do you get? And it's not just for Jesse, the pastor. It could be for other. We have access to it. You just sense, hey, I really feel I should walk with you in the place of prayer for the next few months or weeks or something. Or how can I pray with you? Or something that the Spirit of the Lord is revealing concerning you. Because Paul says prophecy is what builds the church. Amen. So if I come and speak words of encouragement, if I come and I reveal the will of God, like, hey, I think there's something in your life that the Lord wants you to stop. I think there's something in your life that the Lord wants you to honor his calling over your life by you entering a season of consecration, maybe through prayer and fasting. Do you understand? You speak that word over somebody. It builds that person, which in turn what builds the church. Hallelujah. But if I just come here and as you've gathered all of you and I just start doing Shondai and Yada and Kadosh from, those are real words, but you get, if I'm just speaking in tongues for like 90 minutes, you won't get blessed unless someone it. Do you understand? So prophecy, I really encourage you to pursue it and we steward it with love. Amen. But we only function in it as we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ function in it. Glory to God. And Jesus, as much as he is the Word of God, Jesus said, there's nothing I say that my Father, like everything I'm saying, is my Father that is telling me to say it. Amen. So we must be confident that God himself is speaking to us and through us. So I want to encourage you, tribe, to develop your prophetic gift or to enter that prophetic office. In our homes, we speak the word of God. Now, if I to like, and I'm trying to just give this broad definition of prophecy, right? That we are speaking the word of God, revealing the word of God, revealing the heart of God, revealing the will of God. So in our homes, imagine we are constantly revealing the word of God, speaking words of encouragement, speaking the words of God concerning things. Earlier this morning, when we're praying from Ezekiel 37, God told, I've often wondered, why didn't God just raise the army by himself in Ezekiel 37? Why? Is he powerless? No, I believe that God wants to glorify himself by using people that don't have the ability. Do you understand? So God is looking for people that will just yield. So he asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these dry bones live? And he says, Lord, only you know. Then he said, prophesy over these bones. He prophesied over the bones. And the bones came together, sinews came together, flesh came together, the muscles came together, and it was still dead. Then he said, prophesy again. And the beautiful thing is, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. So prophets do not go around announcing things they are not supposed to announce. Do you understand? Why are you prophesying to different women that you are their wives? Yeah, you get that they are your wives. Do you understand? God does not play with dice. Amen. God does not play with dice. As we journey into 2022, it's something I really want us to develop. This gift of prophecy is something I want us to pursue as a house. And let me also say this. God does not say anything outside his word. Are you with me? As much as we hear something sometimes, say God is doing something new. I have said it as well. But the something new is not anything outside of his word. Amen. So Paul encourages us. He says, do not despise prophecy. Do not despise it, but test every spirit. How many? Every, including the voice you're hearing now. Test every spirit. Test every spirit. Now, some of you may never have experienced, probably because of some background. So, like growing up, I never saw that. And I was a cessationist. Cessationists are people who don't believe in the continuation of the Spirit, in the gift of prophecy, in healing, and the apostleship. You understand? And some other things, speaking in tongues. I did not grow up experiencing that. Some of you may have gone, you were probably deep into that, and you may have experienced some form of abuse in that camp, like super hyper charismatic. So on this side, you're despising it because you probably say it doesn't, the Spirit, there's no continuation of that gift in these our times. But I see no evidence that suggests that the gift of prophecy has ended. I see no evidence in Scripture. And if, unfortunately, you may have been in a community that was abused, I really want to apologize. And I want to invite you to experience this newness where you are seeing God, you are knowing God, and making Him known. Hallelujah. Amen. That you are knowing God and you are making Him known. And that we enter, that we are not chasing titles. All our sole desire is to see God and make others see Him. That we enter that prophetic capacity as a church. Glory to God. So in the last days, God has spoken to us through His prophets. Pardon me. Spoken to us through His Son. My life has been shaped by prophecy. Honestly. When I hear something, I journal it and I run with it. There are days I forget. There are days I am discouraged. There are days I question. But I still just go back. Amen. So the tribe Abuja, this coming year, Paul encouraged the Corinthian church to pursue the higher gifts. And I believe that the higher gifts, one of the higher gifts he was talking about is the gift of prophecy. And he said, pursue anything that will excel or will help you in building the church, right? He says, pursue love. And that's the thing, prophecy must be undergirded by love. It must be stewarded by love. Amen. You cannot just be standing here and be pronouncing like Elisha. Is it Elisha that commanded bears to go and eat children? One of them. No. That we're calling fire and brimstone. That's not what we are here for. Amen. Amen. That's not why we're here. We're here to build the body of Christ. And it is a sacred duty. It is a sacred role. It is something that all of us are called to participate in. Is something all of us are called to participate in. It is not for some. It is not for the pastor. It is not just for the leaders. It is for every one of us to enter into that prophetic duty. So husbands, wives, right? You enter it in your place of marriage. You speak the word of God in your place of marriage. For those of you that came late, we've been praying from Ezekiel 37. And please, I want to indulge you. Please, I really feel the tribe, we've reached this stage where only prayer can birth the promises of God or prophecies that He has given us. I really want to encourage us to please join prayers in the morning, and when we gather for charge at 9:30, to gather as a house and as we enter in the place of prayer. That being said, we're going to be having crossover, but we're going to be doing a prayer stretch on the 31st of December from 6 p.m. We'll be praying to 1st of January. Amen. Amen. You guys should be more excited. Amen. The worship team is quiet. Amen. Matthias. Amen. But we're going to be praying, and I really, really, really want us to enter into what God has shown us through prayer. No church enters its destiny, its prophetic destiny, without prayer. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. So our house should be a house of prayer. Sorry, I feel like I'm diverting. I'm not, but yeah. So, guys, Jesus is the prophet. He is, he's not just the prophet that was what? Revealing the word of God. He is the word of God. Just like we learned last week that Jesus is the high priest, that what offers the sacrifice, not just the one that offers the sacrifice, but he is the sacrifice. Today we've learned that Jesus is the prophet, the one all other prophets were looking forward to and were aiming to be like. And Jesus reveals the word of God, but he is also the word of God. In your seats, can you just pray over yourself this morning? Just say, Lord, thank you for this word. Just thank you for this word. Just pray over yourself. Just pray over yourself. Just pray over yourself. Just pray over yourself this morning. Just pray over yourself. Just pray over yourself this morning. If you're online, I want you to just do likewise. Just pray over yourself. Just pray over yourself this morning. In Jesus' name, let's all pray. You know, our vision here is to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through His Son, Jesus Christ. We're told in the book of Daniel that they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So I want you to pray for a revelation of God that grants and gives you strength. I want you to pray for a revelation of God that gives you the opportunity to do great exploits. Amen. Just pray over yourself. I believe that one of I believe that children act in confidence depending on their knowledge of who they are. So if they know who they are, it means they know whose they are. So I want you to pray that you know God in such a way that it reflects in our lives. This festive season, that we are not distracted, but that we plunge into the depths of the knowledge of God, to know Him experientially, to know Him in such a way that our very lives are altered. That great exploits, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Still we're praying. I want you to just pray over the tribe Abuja, please. We've been praying for revival. We've been praying that God will revive our hearts. We pray that God will revive the tribe Abuja. We pray that God will revive our nation. Just pray over the tribe. Pray for your pastors. Pray for Eva and I. Pray that the word of God will be taught with accuracy, with authority. Just pray for the tribe Abuja. Pray that the Spirit of God will just stir in our hearts, stir our hearts, so that we'll see Jesus and we'll have a passion and fire like never before. That we will be an exceedingly great army. I want you to pray that we are not waiting for the move of God. I want you to pray that we are the move of God. Let's just keep praying for the tribe. Let's just keep praying. There are so many things the Lord has shown me that He'll do through our house. And I want that in prayer, that we will birth it in travailing prayer. There are some things that we just have to pray about. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise. Now, some people raised prayer requests earlier. I want you to, let's just say a prayer of thanksgiving for those prayers, for safe delivery for some from women here, someone's sibling. Just safe delivery, safe pregnancy to delivery, that the babies will come out healthy and happy.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you were blessed by the message. To listen to more, consider subscribing, sharing, and rating the podcast. We love you.